You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining for another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter, producer with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship here in Houston. Now, there's a bunch of things I want to talk about tonight. I say tonight because it's pretty late, Monday, October 14th, when I'm talking to you. Definitely want to talk about the Rockets open practice. They had a little bit of a different format than they've had in years past. In addition to that, there's obviously the news about Gerald Green that we want to touch base on. Unfortunately, no timetable for his return as far as his broken foot is concerned. So that's definitely a blow to the Rockets rotation, but that does potentially open up some minutes for both Chris Clemens and Ben McLemore. More on that a little bit later. But first, we need to talk about LeBron James. And the reason we need to talk about LeBron James is because a couple hours ago, during a media scrum, LeBron decided to finally speak out about the China situation and Daryl Morey and just, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and play his audio clip and we're going to talk about it afterwards.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that too.
So where to begin with this? What was that thing that you said? You said, can you say that one little piece one more time for me?
When you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Cool, 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 cool. No doubt. So when you're not thinking about other people and you're only thinking about yourself. Yeah, totally. I mean, that's exactly what Daryl Morey was doing when he was tweeting about the atrocities going on in Hong Kong. He was totally only thinking about himself and not thinking about anybody else, because those atrocities definitely directly affect him. So he was definitely being selfish in that regard, for sure, LeBron. Definitely. That makes total sense. Not really. So LeBron's put us in a bit of a pickle here, because as the face of the NBA, for him to come out and basically say he values his bottom line, he values his revenue, the money that he makes from China, more than human rights. Because, I mean, that's basically what he said. The context behind what he said was essentially that. I mean, why not just Russell Westbrook it? Why not just next question? Or I plead the fifth? Or something along those lines. You know, even, honestly, Steve Kerr, just sit there and say, you know what, I'm not educated enough on the issue to comment at this time. There's, you know, points of views on both sides. Something that, yeah, the media would probably be a little PO'd about. He'd probably get a little bit of backlash on Twitter about not wanting to talk about the big issues or something along those lines. But that would have been a better alternative to what he did talk about, which... what he did say was he called out Daryl Morey. I mean, he said that Daryl Morey made a rash decision with the tweet and that he wasn't educated enough to talk about it. And both of those things are not true. I mean, Daryl Morey made the tweet. He definitely had time to think about it. It's not like the protests in Hong Kong had just started up. So I don't want to say Daryl probably planned this, but Daryl didn't just pull out his phone, you know, at the crack of dawn and decide, you know what, I'm going to send a tweet right now. Or Daryl wasn't drunk tweeting. You know, there was probably some thought put into it, and Daryl's thought was probably, hey, there's bad stuff going on over here. I'm going to send a message about it. And obviously that message turned into an avalanche, and it blew up, and now it's involving the entire NBA. But at no point did Daryl do anything wrong. He just voiced his opinion. And then the fact that you had Adam Silver come out the following week and back him up by essentially saying, we will not censor our employees' free speech, that was huge. A lot of the NBA didn't know how Adam Silver was going to react. I say a lot of the NBA, a lot of people, both fans, employees inside the NBA, other organizations, nobody really knew how this situation was going to turn out. And then Adam Silver stepped out, went up to that podium, and held a press conference, and he answered the tough questions, and he basically put China on blast and said, no, we're not going to censor our employees' free speech. We believe in the ability to speak freely and to speak your mind. And he said that while we are upset that we have upset our friends here in China and our employees here in China and things of that nature, our broadcast partners, whatever it may be, whatever the exact wording was, he stood with Daryl Morey. And now you've got LeBron James, the face of the NBA, basically painting a target on Morey's back, because there are a number of reports coming out from multiple different sources that in closed-door meetings with Adam Silver, players have been frustrated about the fact that there isn't a punishment lined up for Daryl Morey, because they believe, and I say they, LeBron James, believe that if it had been a player who somehow wound up costing the NBA a big chunk of its revenue, that there would be a punishment of sorts in line for said player. So there's an expectation that Daryl Morey will receive some type of punishment because somebody, LeBron James, wants him to be punished. And this kind of all dates back to, you know, LeBron has had this issue with the Rockets franchise and Daryl Morey and James Harden for years now. And I mean, it dates back all the way to, you know, like 2015, when he had the game against James Harden. James kind of kicked him in the you-know-where region, that kind of stuff. I mean, he's just, it feels like he's had it out for this organization. And now he's painting a target on Morey's back, potentially trying to get Daryl Morey fired or fined or in some type of trouble, all because his bottom line is being affected. In addition to his original statement in the interview, LeBron also took to Twitter immediately after seeing the backlash that he was receiving and tried to start playing some PR defense, and it didn't work. It backfired. So the pair of tweets that he put out did not really help him out at all, and he's been put on blast by pretty much everybody. I mean, even the Astros' Lance McCullers went on Twitter and got all up in LeBron's mentions, which was incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, you should go check that out. So at this point, LeBron's going to have to do a lot of damage control. He's obviously made his choice to worry about money rather than human rights, and that's his choice. Is it the right choice? I don't think so. And again, this isn't Locked on Politics. This isn't Locked on China. This is Locked on Rockets. But this situation very much has to do with the Houston Rockets. Daryl Morey is the Rockets' general manager. This involves the NBA. This involves LeBron James, the face of the NBA. And this is very much an issue that started within the Rockets organization. And until there is a final answer on how this will all be dealt with, we're probably going to wind up talking about it, I don't want to say frequently, because I really don't want to make this a regular thing, but if if things keep popping up and if new developments keep taking place in this story, then we're going to keep talking about it. But we will get to some basketball. I promise you that. We're going to talk about Russell Westbrook. We're going to talk about Gerald Green's injury. We're going to talk about the Rockets open practice, some of the rotation, all these things coming up here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to end this segment on a lighter note with a bit by John Oliver, who apparently is a huge Marquise Chris fan.
It's true, the Chinese government upended the NBA's business in that country over a single tweet from this guy. And it's just absurd to get that angry at Daryl Morey for supporting pro-democracy protests. You want to be angry at him? How about the fact he traded away power forward Marquise Chris as part of a three-team deal with the Kings and the Cavaliers back in February? Chris is 6'10", with a 7-foot wingspan, plays way above the rim and can mix it up in the post. Yes, granted, he's had his issues on the Suns, I'm not denying that. But he's the exact type of athletic big man that could have balanced out West Brook and Harden, especially when he's coming off the bench for PJ Tucker. What I'm saying is, Daryl, your tweet about Hong Kong was totally fine, nothing to apologise for there, but when it comes to Marquise Chris, you're f***ed up, Daryl! And I'm not even a Rockets fan! I'm just a fan of competent mid-season roster moves.
You know, I would not have pegged John Oliver to be that impassioned over the training of Marquise Chris. Now, like I promised earlier, we will be getting to talk about the Rockets open practice. We'll talk about Westbrook. We'll talk about the rotation and all that coming up here soon. But before that, a quick message from our friends at Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter code LOCKEDON at checkout. Again, that's $30 off your total purchase of $3.99 or more at Indochino.com when you enter Locked On at checkout. Alrighty, now that we got the super duper fun off the court basketball topics taken care of, as far as China and LeBron James and Daryl Morey and all that fun stuff, we can actually talk about basketball, on the court stuff, the good stuff, the stuff that this podcast really should be about. And, you know, shouldn't be dominated by political noise. So today, the Rockets had their open practice. And they did it in a bit of a different way than they normally do. Normally, the players just kind of come out and shoot around and joke around and kind of goof off for about 30 minutes. Today, they actually ran a real practice, which, you know, what a concept, running an actual practice during open practice. So they did some 5-on-5 scrimmages, kind of first team, second team, third team kind of lineups. So starters versus the, you know, guys 6 through 10 on the bench, and then kind of the end of the bench guys, pawns, Blossom Game, you know, guys that may not even make the actual roster. Tabo Sefolosha didn't scrimmage, more than likely because he's 35 years old. And again, the Rockets want to preserve him as much as possible. It would not shock me if Tabo is on the Nene type plan, or the Nene and Tyson Chandler type plan this season. You know, that's a trio of veterans right there that when they're on the court, they're going to be productive for about maybe 10 to 15 minutes at a time, but that's about all you can expect from them. And it's not going to be on a nightly basis, probably no back-to-backs. So those three guys will probably see very little action throughout the regular season. That way they are fresh and healthy and ready to go come postseason. So as far as the actual open practice goes, there were a lot of standouts. Chris Clemens, again, continues to impress. He was playing with the second team, so he wasn't even all the way down on the third team of the guys who are at the end of the bench or may not even make the roster. He was playing with the second team alongside guys like Austin Rivers and Daniel House. So that lineup was impressive. He had a few solid plays, some highlights that are out there on Twitter. Yufu on Twitter. Let me find his handle, actually, because I want to do him justice. Make sure I get this right. There we go. Yufu Troy on Twitter. If you're not following him, you should be. But he posted a full YouTube video a full YouTube video highlighting all the different plays from the open practice. So if you haven't taken a look, go follow him. Go open up the YouTube video, take a look at it. You know, get a glimpse at the practice if you want to. But Chris Clemens had some highlights. Ryan Anderson had a number of impressive plays. The main ones that I was impressed with were his ability to handle the ball. Granted, it's just practice, and you know, maybe these guys aren't going as hard as they normally would be in a regular NBA game, but Ryan Anderson has never been a guy known for his handles. You know, back 2016, 2017, and then the first half of 2017, 2018, when he was still a starter, you know, if you'd kick the ball out to Ryan Anderson and he wasn't shooting that three-pointer, he'd pump fake it and then maybe do a dribble drive of like one or two dribbles before passing it off to somebody else, or just picking up his dribble and kind of being stuck on an island looking for a bailout pass. But there were some moves that he was making in this practice where he actually drove the ball towards the basket. A couple times he got some passes off to teammates and then they converted on a bucket. One time he actually drove and finished. Granted, it was against Isaiah Hartenstein, so I don't know. You can't really quantify that as far as whether or not we're going to see any dribble drive action from Ryan Anderson in a real NBA matchup, but it's still promising to see that he's not afraid to put the ball on the floor and, you know, just have a little fun with it. One of the things that I think that this Rockets team, since since Mike D'Antoni took over as the head coach, Mike D'Antoni has had this philosophy that he's been trying to implement in the handful of teams that he's been on since the Phoenix Suns day, since the 7 seconds or less Suns, and it hasn't worked anywhere else other than Houston. Granted, he got to Houston, he had James Harden to work with, another player very similar to Steve Nash to kind of run this system, but I think one of the important aspects of those Phoenix Suns teams were the players' abilities to be multidimensional. There were so many guys on that set of Phoenix Suns teams that could score the ball, could handle the ball, could distribute the ball. There weren't many one-dimensional or two-dimensional type players on those Suns teams, whereas on these Rockets rosters that Mike D'Antoni has had the 3 years that he's been here, there have been a lot of players that are very one-dimensional. They do one or two things really, really well, and then not much else past that. Ryan Anderson is a prime example of that type of player. He shoots the three ball really well, and that's about it. He is a prototypical stretch four. He doesn't really have an established post game. He can't really handle the ball. He's not a phenomenal rebounder. You get what you get with Ryan Anderson. Then there's other guys. You've got PJ Tucker, who, again, PJ, phenomenal defender, and he's going to be a great spot-up three-point shooter, but that's about it. You know, he's not an amazing rebounder. He's not going to be a double-double type player, but he'll get you a board when you really need it, and again, you can count on PJ for good defense and hitting his threes on the offensive end, but he's not going to be a playmaker. He's not going to put up 20 points a game. So I think somewhere these versions of this Rockets team with Mike D'Antoni has struggled is having players who are multidimensional and who can do multiple different things on both sides of the ball, both defensively and offensively. And so to see some new blood, some new players who are capable of doing multiple things. Obviously, Russell Westbrook, the biggest addition of the offseason, can do everything on the basketball court. He's not the greatest shooter, but everything else he can do. He can facilitate, he can rebound, he can defend when he puts his mind to it, but that's most players. A lot of players just choose, you know, to kind of slack off on that end of the court, or they get caught ball watching, things like that. There isn't obviously a difference between being an elite defender and just being a good defender who puts forth a good faith effort. I think Eric Gordon falls into that category. Eric Gordon on defense, he's not going to stop the ball. He's not a defensive stopper, but Eric Gordon puts in effort on the defensive end every play. Eric Gordon looks like he's really trying on the defensive side of the ball every time his man has the ball. Even when he's running around chasing guys around screens off the ball, Eric Gordon really tries on defense. And Russell Westbrook is capable of at least that level of defense, of just putting forth the good faith effort and trying on that side of the basketball. But other guys, Daniel House had a handful of really not flashy dunks throughout the practice, but he was looking to attack the rim, and that's a promising sign.
because Daniel House has to be able to keep defenses honest. He can't just sit on the three-point line and be a one-dimensional player. Having guys who aren't afraid to drive the ball into the basket and create chaos, which, you know, will disrupt the opposing defense, creates chaos, and then allows him the opportunity to either finish at the rim or set up a teammate for an open shot. Those are things that this team needs more of. And to see that, even in a practice, is promising, because it means that if they're working on it in practice, then those are things that they're going to try and implement in a real game situation down the line. Now, we mentioned it earlier, but Gerald Green has the foot injury that is rather unfortunate. I mean, any kind of injury just sucks, but to have a broken foot and to be out for an unforeseen amount of time is really crappy. I mean, for a guy like Gerald, who just loves the game of basketball as much as he does, who loves the city of Houston as much as he does, and loves to go out and leave it all out there on the court, you know, he's just one of those guys that wants to play the game. And I know that this is going to be hard for him to be away from the game for a period of months, more than likely, to rehab that foot and get it back to game shape, I guess. But without him, there's an opening in the rotation. You know, he's basically your eighth guy off the bench. You've got Austin Rivers as kind of your sixth man, Daniel House right after him. Those are kind of your 1-2 right off the bench. And Gerald Green was going to be your third guy. He was going to be your consistent guy. Plug him in, just let him shoot. You know, some nights he's going to have it, some nights he's not going to have it. So who fills that gap now that he's gone? Obviously, there's been a lot of impressive play from Chris Clemens. So, and Mike D'Antoni seems to trust him. The fact that he was playing in the second unit earlier at the open practice bodes well. Ben McLemore, again, had a couple rough games in Japan, but overall, I still think that Ben McLemore has a chance to crack the rotation, and, you know, maybe D'Antoni does kind of a 1-2 punch between them. Maybe he lets Chris Clemens get some minutes here, and then Ben McLemore gets minutes elsewhere, and whoever's got it, whoever's playing better, that's the person who's going to eventually win out the majority of the minutes, because you're not going to get consistent games or minutes out of Thabo Sefolosha. You're not going to go past Ben McLemore or Chris Clemens to any of the other guys further down the roster to solidify that wing spot. So really, either of those two guys could fill in for Gerald Green. And right now, I'm leaning towards Chris Clemens. I love the way that he plays. He plays with an intelligence beyond his years. He's really developing nicely. And I know that's probably a reach to say this early on, but when you're making the reads that he's making, when you're making the choices that he's making on the basketball court, as far as when to pass, when to shoot, when to kind of pull the ball back out and reset, things like that, you know, just the little things that he does on the court are so huge for a player as young as he is. Now, we'll probably get a better idea of what D'Antoni's rotation without Gerald Green will look like come Wednesday night against the Spurs. That's the Rockets' next preseason game, a 7 p.m. tip-off here in Houston. That game will more than likely give everybody a very firm idea of what the rotation is going to look like, at least during the first half. You know, it's pretty much tradition. Starters don't play the fourth quarter in preseason games. Sometimes they don't even play the back half of the third. So we'll still get a solid look, knowing D'Antoni, about what the rotation will look like, at least throughout the first half. So that'll give us some inkling as to how he's going to stagger these minutes, how he's going to keep two of Westbrook, Harden, and Gordon on the court at all times, because that is what he said. That has been confirmed now, that D'Antoni plans to have two of those three guys on the court at all times. And with all three of those guys being in the starting lineup, it remains to be seen just exactly how he plans to stagger those minutes, whether it means Eric Gordon is the first one to come out, whether it means Russell Westbrook is the first one to come out, because we know it's not going to be James Harden. James plays the entire first quarter. That's just tradition. He plays either the entire first quarter or most of the first quarter, all the way down to the minute and a half or 2-minute mark before he gets his first breather. And then he sits for the first 5 to 6 minutes of the second quarter and then comes back in and finishes it off until the half. So those are James's minutes. It just remains to be seen how Westbrook and Gordon will be staggered alongside those minutes to keep two of those three guys on the court at all times. Now, one more thing I want to talk about is Westbrook's shooting. Obviously, this is going to be a sensitive topic for a lot of Rockets fans because, let's face it, Westbrook is not a good shooter. Career, 29% from three? Not great. These are not good numbers. And the Rockets have a high-octane offense that says, hey, mid-range is bad. We don't shoot mid-range. And so for Russell Westbrook, who likes to shoot mid-range and still isn't efficient for mid-range, he is going to have to alter the way that he plays. Now, I've been under the impression that the best way for Russell Westbrook to kind of assimilate to this Houston system would be to play to his strengths and to not jump in and start firing up three-pointers like there's no tomorrow. However, there is something to be said for the fact that if Russell Westbrook can simply eliminate the inefficient mid-range shots from his game, there is a possibility that his true shooting could go up if he were to just replace his mid-range shots with attempted three-pointers. Even with his, let's face it, poor three-point shooting percentage, by simply getting rid of that inefficient mid-range shot that he just so loves, if you replace those shots with three-point attempts, his true shooting would jump up probably about 4 or 5%, somewhere in that neighborhood, which is a pretty substantial jump. So then you could have Russell Westbrook eliminate the mid-range, focus exclusively on an increased number of three-pointers, which I know that sounds a little daunting when you say it. You know, Russell Westbrook increased shooting three-pointers. Not great. He averaged 5 a season last year. He could maybe get up to 7 or 8 a game this year and replace all those mid-range shots with three-pointers and then subsequently increase his true shooting percentage if he were to hit them at even a 30% clip. But I still believe that for Russell Westbrook to be effective in this Houston system, he has to stick to what he's good at, which is pushing the pace in transition or just pushing the pace in general. When Russell Westbrook is on the court, players need to be flying. He is going to be looking to run every time he touches the ball. And players like House, Rivers, Capella, he's going to have so many different guys willing to run the court with him. Even James. When James is out there on the court, James has been playing with an increased sense of urgency and less of that methodical, you know, slower pace that we're so accustomed to seeing from him. And that's a culture shift that Russ brought with him. So that's a nice thing to see. It's new, it's exciting, and seeing it in action on the first night of the season, which is less than 10 days away now. NBA tip-off for the Rockets is October 24th at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. So there will be 3 MVPs on the court, 2 for Houston, 1 for Milwaukee. 3 MVPs all going at it on the opening night of the Houston Rockets season. That's a game that I'm sure that anybody listening to this podcast is not going to miss, and it's going to be the start to what I expect to be a really special season with James Harden and Russell Westbrook at the helm for the 2019-2020 Houston Rockets. Now, before we get out of here, I will say that I want to re-up, you know, I say it at the top of every show, I am a producer for Sports Talk 790, and one of the things that I like to do is I like to produce things. Just in this show already, in the first segment, I had some audio sound bites, trying to have a little fun with it. That's kind of my background, and so one of those things that I'm going to be working on is I've got a little project coming up here soon for the show, and I will probably be implementing it here in the next show or two, so just be on the lookout for that. You'll know it when you hear it, for sure, and so we'll see. If you guys hate it, we can change it back. If you guys love it, great, we'll keep it, but I won't go into much detail about it. It's just a little side project that I'm working on for the show, and hopefully you guys like it. I'm doing it because I want you guys to enjoy it, and I think it's something that, as a Rockets fan myself, I think you guys will have some deep appreciation for. So with that, I think that's where we'll cut things today on this October 14th, Monday night, late Monday night. It's really late now. But as always, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. If you want more content before the next show, social media is where everything's happening all the time. I'm on there at JT Gatlin. Ben DuBose, who we all know and love, is on there at Ben DuBose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Past that, there's Facebook, which is located at facebook.com/lockedonrockets, the website, lockedonrockets.com, and then email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. All of these are different ways that you can consume content and learn more about the Rockets, ask me questions about the show, place advertising inquiries, basically just anything that we can do to improve the experience for you, the listeners. Beyond that, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts, if you could please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes straight to your inbox before it's published to the previously mentioned social media channels. And we get the benefit of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping the business model rolling along as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Again, for this Monday, October 14th, this is where we're going to break things. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.